Hi, and welcome to Healthy Wives for Women with me, Dani Adekunle. Today's topic is on gout. And yeah, it's kind of like, why anyone would ask, why am I talking about gout when it's actually more common in men? But studies have also shown that this is now being found in women, and it's actually quite growing quite a lot in number. Hence my having my special guest to come and talk about this. And I also feel that it will help you to understand how you deal with someone who has gout, and you know the support that you can give them. So basically, as it is, all my podcast episodes is all about how you can help others. So it's not something that, oh, it's just because it's only you that's going through it, or you know there are people around you that you can support in every way. Well, without wasting too much of your time, I hope you find this episode really useful. And as usual, please feel free to share with everyone around you.
My name is Spiro Kaloris. I've been a gout sufferer since the age of about 26. I got it pretty early. Usually gout is a disease that affects people after the age of 50 and over, usually. It's considered the most painful arthritic condition from all the arthritises. Gout is the most painful one. What gout consists of basically, in plain English, it's basically your kidneys filter out purines. When everybody consumes purines, every food has purines, meat, vegetables, and so on. And some foods have more purines than others, like meats, processed foods, sugar, alcohol has more purines, let's say, than vegetables and fruits, for example. And as the kidneys filter out and break down the purines, we all produce a chemical called uric acid in the body. And when not enough uric acid can get excreted from the urine, it basically, too much stays in the body. It basically crystallizes in a joint area, usually the big toe. You get what they call uric acid crystals. And you basically get a gout attack. So a gout attack is basically painful inflammation, right? The joint gets reddened, inflamed. It's very sensitive to touch. And basically, that's what gout consists of. So it's usually, it affects people with age, but there's other ways you can get it. Most frequently, you're probably going to be overweight. Like I was about 50 pounds overweight when I was 26. I was eating a lot of McDonald's, drinking a lot of Coca-Cola, right? And Coca-Cola is very high in high fructose corn syrup, which is another popular, one of the top five triggers for gout. I was drinking a lot of alcohol because I was young, so I was going out late at night. And my first gout attack, actually, I was out at a bar and I was drinking a lot of whiskey that night. And then I went home and around 3 a.m. I got my first gout attack. It was so painful, you couldn't even put a bed sheet on it, right? And so the next day I had to limp over and go to my doctor's office to check it out. My doctor quickly diagnosed me as having gout. I did not know what gout was. I was a bit skeptical if he was correct, but we did a blood test and sure enough, my uric acid was very high. So it was gout, and he told me you'd have to be on medication for life. Usually to treat gout, you take a medication called allopurinol, which helps to regulate uric acid levels. So at the beginning, I was a bit not too happy about it. So I decided to basically avoid taking the medication, because once I was healed, I thought maybe it would never come back, but it did. And it came on a few occasions. So then I realized I got to dive in deeper and do more research on the internet about gout. And I couldn't find much good information. It was mostly medical journals, right? The doctor stuff, doctor speak, and so on. So I decided to develop create a blog, which is goutandyou.com, where I do research online through the studies that have been done on gout and all that. And I write articles on different foods, different tips for lifestyle. I write about the medications and so on. So it's considered like the number one resource right now for gout. I would say there's a lot of traffic. We have a big community of gout sufferers on the website, with social media on Facebook, Twitter, and so on. So it's a helpful resource for people that suffer from gout. And from that, I discovered a lot of information by doing a lot of research. I discovered that I had to change my lifestyle habits, because if not, if I continue on the same road, it would only, my health would deteriorate and would get worse and worse, right? So basically that is my story with gout. Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, wow. Thanks for that. Yeah, so basically I sort of, yeah, like you rightly said, there is not that much information about gout, because my understanding of gout was basically that if you eat too many rich foods and stuff like that, so is that, is eating rich food as well got something to do with it? Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like,
well, rich, yeah, foods, we're talking, let's say cakes, sugary foods, lots of meat, wine, that's considered rich. It's called the rich man's disease, by the way. And it comes actually from the UK. That comes from the kings, yeah, and queens of the mid-century, 16th, 1700s with King Henry. I think he had gout. And the reason being that the aristocracy in England had gout was because they were the only ones that could afford and have access to rich foods like wine and plentiful of meat, plenty of sugary foods, baking, right, and so on. Whereas the peasants in the farms didn't have access to all these rich foods, so they would eat off the land. So they would eat basically complex carbohydrates, a lot of fruits, vegetables, 100% whole grain breads, pastas, and rices, right? So, and that's why a lot of aristocrats and kings and queens used to get gout back then, and that's why they call it the rich man's disease, or basically that's where the term comes from the kings and queens of England. Yeah.
Yep, but very, very true. Yeah, because and then you sort of, when you were talking, because I was just taking notes, and you mentioned the fact that you had this thing that you were really overweight, and so how did you go about sort of working on that when you found out, for example, when the doctor diagnosed you, what step did you take to start sort of getting, you know, more treatment, further treatment, and, you know, changing your lifestyle, basically, like you said?
If you can repeat that question, because the Zoom audio, I lost you there for a bit.
Okay, sure. So you mentioned the fact that your doctor diagnosed you with gout.
Yeah.
So what kind of treatment did you have, and what step? So what has worked for you so far?
There's basically two treatments for gout, essentially. If you get a gout attack, which is the painful inflammation that lasts for a few weeks, your doctor will either prescribe you colchicine, which is a drug that works pretty quickly to remove the inflammation, or they'll give you basically NSAIDs, which are steroids. Usually, let's say you got a gout attack in the knee, they could inject steroids like corticosteroids in the knee to remove the inflammation so you could feel better. So that's basically to get rid of the pain and inflammation. And then for long-term uric acid control, you will probably go on allopurinol. Most all gout sufferers eventually go on that. Naturally, what you can do to control also uric acid levels, which I've done and I write about in my website, I also have a book on the subject, is diet. You got to change your diet. And a gout diet, the ideal gout diet consists of eating 80% of your daily calories as complex carbohydrates. So foods that burn clean, that don't take too long for the kidneys and liver to break down and filter and process. So basically, you got to eat a lot of fresh vegetables, fruits, legumes, 100% whole grain breads, whole grain rices, whole grain pastas. 10% of your daily calories consist of protein. So if you want to eat some protein, you can. But you can only limit it to chicken breasts, turkey, lean beef, and so on. There's zero tolerance for processed meats in a gout diet. That's very inflammatory, very dangerous for gout sufferers. Seafood also is very bad for gout sufferers. It raises uric acid levels more. Fresh fish is fine. fish like salmon, cod, and so on, sea bass, and so on is fine. But you got to limit protein to 10% of your daily calories. Why? Because it takes hard, your kidneys work harder to break it down and filter it out. And you want to have healthy kidneys. So that's why we advocate, or I advocate, that you should eat 80% of your daily calories as complex carbohydrates. And the final 10% of your daily calories can be fat. Fat consisting of eggs, milk, cheese, butter, and so on. So you see that 20% portion between protein and fat, the food is derived from animal. So basically, a gout sufferer has to limit their intake of any food that is derived from or comes from animals. Because if not, your uric acid will continue going higher. So I recommend, if you can be a vegetarian, that would be even better, on a plant-based diet. To control uric acid levels long term. But if you really like meat, like I still eat some meat, but limit it to 10% of your daily calories, and make sure it's only a few choices, the healthy meats, which is chicken breast, turkey, lean beef, fresh fish, basically. And that's pretty much it. The rest you gotta avoid. No pork either, by the way. Pork is, there's a lot of processed foods with hot dogs, right? The bolognese and all that, the cold cuts, all pork based, and that's very dangerous for gout sufferers. It raises uric acid levels. Yeah, this is all backed up by studies that I've researched. Right?
Okay, well, thank you for that. Because I was actually going to ask about the plant based as well, but you've already mentioned that, because I thought when you started talking about all the things that people can't eat and all of that, so I was like, okay, does that mean that they can go on a plant based diet, sort of go on a plant based sort of nutrition, I guess. But yeah, I suppose what I also wanted to ask again was, so for somebody who, you know, they've got, who is sort of like a family member who's gone through this, how can they, what advice would you give to them in terms of how they can get the support that they need from family and friends? Because obviously it's going to be really hard for somebody who's been so used to eating meat and or maybe certain foods all of their lives, and then suddenly they get diagnosed with this. How can they sort of like get
I
the
lost you
support?
again with the Zoom audio. If you could just rewind a little bit again.
Oh yeah, so basically you know, if I was just I was just saying that for family, for people who have also like they have got family members and you know they live in a family, and so what so that person got diagnosed with gout, how then can they sort of get that support that they need from family members, especially when,
Yeah.
yeah,
Especially when?
and especially sort of like when they go out and they used to fam you know
What were you
sort of
going to
like
say?
family
Finish off
gatherings and
with?
so on. And you know, like for
Oh,
example, barbecue,
yeah.
yeah,
It's
like doing like a
discipline. It's
barbecue
not
and
going
stuff
to,
like that.
I get you. So it's discipline. It's not going to happen overnight. You got to take it day by day. You're going to fail on some days because you're going to go to a visit at barbecue, like you said, or you're going to go to a dinner and they're going to serve you maybe lobster, a lobster tail. So you'll have nothing else to eat. So what I recommend in those occasions, have that lobster tail. Make sure that's your only protein for the day. Stick to the 10% of daily calories. So make sure you don't eat too much of it. Drink lots of water, because that helps to expel uric acid as well. And stick to your diet as best as you can, although some days you will fail. I'll go to a barbecue and friends will serve nothing but burgers and hot dogs. I'm gonna have a burger or two for that day. I went a bit overboard on my protein. The next day I'll try and cut it out and have just plant-based food the entire day. So try and balance it out that way. It's a work in progress. You're gonna need discipline, and it doesn't happen overnight. You'll notice your taste buds will change over time, so you won't crave those bad foods like you used to. So that plays a role as well, and you'll be craving the better foods for you. So keep at it every day. Write a diary if you have to take note of everything you eat. And also, you could write how you feel if you have any pain or flare up. So this way, you could pinpoint if there's a certain food that really affects you compared to others, and maybe you can find a pattern or so. Some gout sufferers have done that. But yeah, and with your family, ask them to support you the best they can. But not bring in the house foods that could trigger gout attack or could raise uric acid levels that are bad for you. That'll be the best way your family could support you at home.
All right, brilliant. Thank you so much for that. So you also mentioned the fact that, you know, you that this thing is probably going to, it means that they might be on medication for life. Does that actually still apply? Because you said about using your research. Did you, mm-hmm. and also mentioning the fact that there were other people that you support, or, you know, other girl sufferers as well. Has that sort of like meant mm-hmm. that you're going to be on medication for the rest of your life? Is that what is happening to you now?
No, for me, it is, because in my case, it's genetic. My root cause of getting gout was not, it was dietary that triggered it, but I was going to probably be destined to have gout because I have a condition called thalassemia minor. It's very, very minor, actually, nothing serious, but it is a blood disorder and it's connected to the kidneys. And my doctor says that that could be the root cause that I got gout at such a young age compared to everybody else that gets 50 and over usually. But I have gout sufferers who have written to me who said that changing their lifestyle and their diet, they've been able to get off the medication. I always advise if you're going to do anything like that to do it with your work with your doctor. Make sure you check your uric acid levels frequently because you don't want to get another painful gout attack. That's something you got to speak to your doctor if you want to get off the medication and try and do a more holistic approach. But yeah, there are cases, obviously, of people that don't need to be on medication for life. And those people usually will have to change their lifestyle habits, lose the weight, and basically eat better.
Okay, well, thanks so much for that. And yeah, I do like the fact that you mentioned the whole thing about people sort of like eating healthily and losing the weight, because that's what my podcast is all about, sort of, you know, helping people to have a healthy lifestyle. And obviously gout is something that, you know, we like you said, is Richmond's food and stuff like that. But it's not, I mean, this day and age, we wouldn't necessarily say that's the case because we have meat and everything available for us. Like, you know, it's there. It's
part of that Western diet, too much meat, too much sugar. Yeah,
I think that's what
causes so much disease.
And that's what it is, really. And you also mentioned the fact that you've written a book.
Yeah, Gout and You, the Ultimate Gout Dieting Cookbook. So basically, it's a book that dives in deeper what we discussed today about the diet, the ideal gout diet of eating 80% of your daily calories as complex carbohydrates, 10% as protein, 10% as fat. It gives other tips and advice. And there's basically about 100 recipes that could get you started, help you get started so you could see what you can eat and what you can't eat, what you can incorporate in your diet. There's definitely the book. You can find it on Amazon.com or in the UK, Amazon.co.uk.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. I'm actually quite glad that you've kind of written a cookbook for that, because obviously there's not going to be that many people cookbooks out there that would actually address that, you know. And it's, even though gout is a major thing in the UK here, but, you know, it's something that obviously sort of like, yeah, but it's kind of not something that people want to write about so much or want to talk about, because we have this about us being Brits.
People are embarrassed.
Yeah, exactly.
Gout sufferers are generally embarrassed to have this disease, and it affects about anywhere from 2 to 4% of the general population. And I know the UK, it's been increasing as well with the youth, I've read, because there's a lot of binge drinking lately with the youth, right? They're consuming more alcohol and they're getting gout at a younger age.
Yeah, that's very true. So So thank you so much for that. And if people wanted to reach you, how can they do that?
It's simple. Go to my website at www.goutandyou.com. Go to the contact us page. You could email me. It's info@goutandyou.com. I answer all questions. You could email me any question about gout. I'll respond usually within 24 hours. And you'll find over 150 articles on our website to get you started and help you find the correct path to start changing your diet and lifestyle. And since this is also a women's show, a women's health show, for women, just so you can know, usually women are not affected as much with gout as men. Usually it's 75% men, 25% women. What protects you, woman, is the female hormone estrogen. So after menopause, when that hormone lowers, basically you're are a high risk of developing gout, but it usually happens after their 50s and 60s with women. But it's much less than usually affects men overall, just so you could know.
It's still something that women should know about, and also obviously women that listen may have men in their lives that, you know, that have this thing, so it will be good for them to...
I lost you. Zoom audio again, if you could repeat that.
Yes, yeah, so it'll be something that will be good for sort of like women to know anyway, because it's something that they could help with the men in their lives to, if they have men in their lives that are going through this as well, they can help them to support them in every way, you know, regarding that. So I think it's still useful anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, well, I don't have any more questions, actually, because you pretty much covered everything I wanted to sort of mention. And yeah, so thank you so much for this.
Yeah, really, no problem. Thank you for having me, Dee.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Oh?
Hello, yeah.
Are you? Oh, you're recording.